Chapter 23. I have made thee a watchman. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. I have made thee. The development of a man of God is first and last a prerogative and operation of God himself. Whatever means he uses, or whatever human instruments he chooses to employ, it is a work that God does not entrust to subordinates. Every experience, pleasant or unpleasant, are all carefully weighed in the balance of perfect wisdom of the Master Creator and Trainer. In this verse, it is written in the past tense, I have made thee. In the vision, the work of Ezekiel's preparation is over. Every step of his development has been both planned and fulfilled in the divine mind. Divine wisdom and mercy worked out and finished the process of Ezekiel's development. No doubt, there were times when Ezekiel felt like he was pulled through the proverbial knothole, but he did get through, which is, after all, the principal thing. The man of God cannot be self-chosen or self-made. No man is authorized to say to the Lord of harvest, God, I have found you a man. Where do you want me to send him? Or what task do you want me to set him to do? God, not men, makes ministries. God said, I have made thee a watchman. There are many people in the ministry who are self-made. But a truly commissioned man of God cannot be a self-made ministry. God himself chooses a basic material, the process, and the tools he will use, and the times. The prophet Samuel thought, when all those lovely young sons of Jesse came before him, that he would just get out the oil horn and pour that holy anointing oil on the first candidate. But God intervened and said, no, not this one. So Samuel looked at the next one, a fine youth, and said, this one will make a great king. See what a wonderful look there is in his eyes. What a personality. This must be. And God intervened again and said, no, not this one. In the same manner, Samuel went through the whole number of Jesse's sons, and not one of them was the material God wanted. Finally, in the desperation of confusion, Samuel plaintively asked, don't you have any more sons? Well, yes, chagrined Jesse, the father, answered. I have one more son, but he is not good for anything else but keeping the sheep out there. Bring him in, said Samuel. When David entered the room, God informed Samuel, now that is my man. Anoint him for kingship. Nellie Rahm, a dentist in Argentina, was called by God to take care of children. Before God chose her, she really did not care for any child. She would fight with a four-year-old on a four-year-old level. Nevertheless, God clearly indicated that she was the one that he wanted to take care of children. I suggested to God that there must be some mistake, not that one. But God did not change his mind at my request. However, he wondrously changed her. Even though it took many tears to accomplish his purpose in her, yet she became excellent in her charge and greatly admired in the city. God does not necessarily put his chosen ones in the place for which men might think they are the most competent and qualified. And if he did, that could become a major problem. Because if a person be proficient for the job, he would not greatly need the help of God. He would be quite able to get on without the hand of God upon him and do the job himself. God places his man in a place for which he is incapable, then makes him capable. Jesus used 6 water pots of stone to enhance a wedding supper, and that is just about what a man of God is, a hollowed-out stone water pot. It takes a lot of hammering and chiseling to make a leak-proof stone pot that will contain over 100 liters. Hammering and chiseling is God's way of forming his servants and only when finished does he say, fill them up to the brim. There are many unique and interesting ministries. There was a certain nurse in Tampa, Florida. Doctors loved to appoint her to a hard case because she had a most unique record. First, she would seek God to see if he wanted her to take the case. But when she took a case, she prayed for their healing, and not one case under her care died. With faith, prayer, and a TLC, she would bring her patients through their sickness. Therefore, the doctors were very anxious to get her on their cases. Many of her patients she won to the Lord also. Paul made it clear that his ministry was not a thing of his choice. 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. I have to. I have no choices. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Whatever happened to him while serving his master, however difficult the task might be, he knew that life would be far worse if he did not serve him. Paul was beaten, shipwrecked, thrown in jail, and persecuted. But, he says, that is better than what would have happened to me if I had rebelled and refused to obey him. Then Paul further adds in verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, many men of God would get out of the ministry quickly if God gave him a choice and felt relief from their commission orders. Annie has said to me many times in tears of frustration and fear, I do not want to have a vision. I do not want to serve God. However, she did not have a choice. Paul said, I am apprehended. When one is apprehended, he has chains on his hands and feet. He does not have much of a chance to do his own will. He will just do what he is told to do. God said, fill them up to the brim. A chicken will lay the number of eggs according to the excess of food provided. So if a farmer wants to make a success of his chicken farm, he must stuff them with food. He will even turn the lights out at night so the day seems longer and the chick will eat for a longer time. Then the eggs come filling the nest every day. Economize on the food, and the chicken economizes on the eggs. That is because the law of nature is that the animal must first feed itself, and after that comes the extra in produce. The same law holds true in any successful dairy, because milk comes from the excess of food. Stint on the food, and the cow will stint on the milk. A poorly fed cow will give little or no milk to the dairyman. In New Zealand, where there are more sheep than people, the sheep farmers told us that a poor sheep will not bear lambs. A good sheep will always bear lambs, and a really healthy fat sheep will bear twins. It is out of the abundance of intake that fruitfulness will come. A man of God carrying out orders will not feed on dry crust of theology and barely keep his own soul alive. When his brook dries up like Elijah's, he knows that it is time to move from the brook Cherith and find the woman with a barrel of meal that is renewed every morning. The man prepared by God will also be given his message from God, a message that all the angels and all the stars delight to sing, the message of Jesus, the message that will fill his soul so full that it will spill forth over the brim out of its overflow. It will spill forth through his lips, flow through his heart, and through his very hands in blessing. The man of God may not have the nicest sounding words, but there will be an essence, a spirit, an attitude, a way of speaking that gives a true testimony of Jesus. There are those that speak in quite plain language a message that is beautiful to hear, and there are those that speak in polished language a message quite empty of the spirit of life. I have heard people get up and give a testimony of some wonderful thing God had done for them, and though half their words were slang or the lowest English, but they were true words that came from a heart overflowing with thanksgiving. Young Rich Joseph was not trying to become an apostle by his own maneuverings or political strategy, or even purchase it with large sums of money. He did not sit at the feet of one of the apostles striving to learn how to be an apostle like Peter. Joseph did not attempt to talk the apostles into setting up a regular Bible school so he could study all the lessons and pass the exams and become an apostle. All Joseph did was to first unload a lot of things that were hindering his ability to bless people, sold it all, and gave it away, and went out visiting people and bringing to them the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So much so that he greatly impressed the apostles to the point that they changed his name from Joseph to Barnabas, which means the son of consolation. And incidentally, the Spirit of God used that new name when he said, "Send forth Barnabas and Paul," not Paul and Joseph. Young Barnabas cared about people who were hurting. He set about helping people who were discouraged, downhearted, and troubled. Time went on until even the apostles wondered about this young man who was always encouraging people and blessing people and comforting people. Peter or John or James would go out and call on some member and ask how they were. And the surprising answer often was, "You know, I have had it pretty rough this week, but Barnabas came to visit and he prayed for us, and now we feel so much better. Everything's going to be fine now." That was an oft-repeated report the apostles frequently heard. One day, the apostles needed a trustworthy messenger who would carry a message to the church to Antioch. They pondered, "Who can we send that will have the right spirit and give the message the right way and not garble it all or give the right words with the wrong intent?" Quickly, the name of Barnabas came to mind, and they all decided that he was their man. So he became the apostles' messenger to Antioch. When he arrived at Antioch, he found a church without a pastor. What an opportunity for Barnabas to enter into his ministry and be a pastor. But he did not do that. Instead, he went to Tarsus, found his friend Paul, took him to Antioch to pastor their church. All the while, God, in secret, was developing Barnabas. Sometime later, when the teachers and prophets were gathered together, Barnabas was named as one of them. No longer a messenger boy, but one of their teachers or prophets, or both. In the book of Acts, we read that one day, when they all were seeking God and pouring out their hearts to the Lord, that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Then, in chapter 14 and verse 14, we read that when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, the question is, how did young businessman Joseph become Barnabas the apostle? Well, really, just by being a hollowed out stone pot full and running over, with the spirit of grace flowing out to the thirsty and making himself a blessing to them. Yes, there is no doubt about it. God makes ministries. God makes watchmen. Ezekiel, God said, "I have made thee a watchman. According to the words of the Almighty, watchman-making work is entirely the doings of God."